Okay, we are in Parent Training Institute, session number 2, and I am working to record these. We hope to get these up on the internet if somebody's missing one and they would like to get it that way. Not that it's more important than anything else we're doing, but if somebody's trying to stay up with them throughout the whole year, we want to make them available. I'd like to go over some resources tonight, and then I would like to go into some things that we're dealing with preschool through third grade. It's not that these are magical numbers. We just tried to break it into groups that, generally speaking, these are things that we want to be thinking about. There's a couple things that I would give you. These are available in the bookstore, and these are great for, I would say, third grade and down. They have a variety of things here. One of them is Key to Family Manners, and this is a manners for a month. And so you can take this in a month, and at the supper table or at the breakfast table, or if you're having family time with a family altar in your home, a time where you're just sitting and doing some training, a Bible story, a song, whatnot, you can open this up, and here's for the first day of the month. Always speak kindly and quietly to each other. Talk to each other in a normal voice. Screaming, yelling, and hollering are unnecessary in our bad communication. And you can go through that, and you can give examples of that with your children and scenarios and play that out. But they're very helpful because you can't gorge kids with too much. But just something every day that you're emphasizing. That one's on manners. This one's on character qualities. This is attentiveness, number one. Number 7 is faith. Dependability, 14, but again, there are 31 of those, so you can take a month and work through those. We did them around meals. We did things like this around meals. Just something easy that you can get in the habit if you're having a meal together every day. That's helpful. These are keys to family habits spiritual habits, developing spiritual habits, and just talking about those spiritual habits. And, of course, when you're training, you're not going to train once and ever be done. Training is I do it, and then I have to bring it back again, and I have to review it again, and I have to review it again. And so those are good resources. If you're looking for something simple, and you got, I would say, first graders and up, my father has written a volume called 32 Family Devotions. It looks like this. You can pick it up in the bookstore. Very, very easy to follow. And what it does is it has for every day a format for your family devotions. So let's say that you start family devotions and you're doing it Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or you're doing it 3 days a week. You can use day 2 and sing, prayer request, read this passage of scripture, more verses that you can look at, questions, manners, practice saying, yes sir, yes ma'am, no sir, no ma'am, and then a song to sing, and then close in prayer. And dads, if you're like me, for many years, man, to try to think of something every time you're meeting, to have all that already thought for you, that you open the book, it's by your chair, you gather the family around, and there's already something in place that you can follow and work with your family on things. It's a very helpful resource. If you're wanting to read a book on training your children to turn out right, there's a number of them, and I have the book list I'll give to you tonight. But this one is by David Sorensen, Training Your Child, Your Children to Turn Out Right. Chapter titles include Firm Foundation, Gambling is Prohibited, and what he's talking about is gambling with not doing anything with your children and hoping that everything is going to happen to the best. Directed Through Discipline, Principles to Practice, Consistency is the Key, The Battle is On, Dealing with Warfare When Your Children Are Experiencing Spiritual Warfare, Fruit Inspecting, very good book. And I would recommend that as parents you strive to read a book on parenting every year together. One book together on parenting. It's got to stay a focus. Parenting is not something that you fall asleep on the job at for a year and say, oops, yeah, I actually am parenting. I would recommend that. There's a few topics I do that on. I do it on marriage. I do it on preaching. I do it on family. All of those are good things. So I give you those books. There's a couple handouts that I would have given you last time if you were here. Stephanie, if you can help me, just pass these out. And then, Brother Dustin, can you pass these out for me? One is training focuses. One is book recommendations. The book recommendations is color-coded for some things that we are recommending at different times. A lot of those are in the box, so you can look at it. You can loan it out from me. Some of them are... some of the books are in the bookstore. You can pick them up. The burden for Parent Training Institute came as a result of understanding that the Lord had placed families in our church, and that... I need to pass that one out too. Sorry, I got three handouts here. The burden is this, that after having brought mine up, we're almost done as far as kids in the home. My son's 20, my daughter's 19, my other daughter's graduating from high school this year, and hopefully will attend college this fall. But I realized I needed all the help that I could get. And I also realized if my kids do anything as far as serving God, it is not because of me as a parent. It will be all because of God. But God put people in my life and gave me wisdom in some regards. I mean, obviously I'm not a perfect parent. We made mistakes and still do. But God taught me some things. And God taught me some things through the lives of others, through the Word of God, through preaching that I heard. And we thought we'd take that and try to transfer some of that into parents that are parenting here. I want to remind you about parenting tonight as we get into this, that really you have many hats to wear as a believer. You are a citizen, so you have the hat of citizen to wear. Those of you that are church members, we have a hat as a church member to wear, biblical responsibilities and roles as members of a church. We have the hat of an employee. Some of you work and you're an employee of a company. You have that to manage. But a big hat that you wear is that of a parent. And I have always said this, that none of my hats, God didn't give me the hats that I wear to conflict with each other so that I would drop one in order to maintain the other. So part of life is me learning to balance and manage all the different hats that God has given me to wear. And one that I want to make sure that doesn't fall off the cliff that I neglect is the one of parenting. Then you're a husband and a wife, and that's another hat to wear. And then you have roles and responsibilities and all those things. So we developed the Parent Training Institute with these things in mind. Number one, to bring focus throughout the year that parenting is a God-given responsibility that requires diligence. We can just lose focus, and I have as a parent, and there's been something that God awakens me again to, I better give attention to them on this, and so bring focus, number one. Number two, to educate parents with principles, tools, foresight, and tips that can be used in everyday parenting and avoid mistakes others have made. Now, when we talk about scriptural principles, obviously there are scriptural principles that dictate certain things that we do as parents. And then there are also things that maybe aren't actually scriptural, but they would fit into this category of wisdom, okay, that are just wise, all right, that we can learn from others and their experiences. So we want to look at Bible principles. We're going to do that in every time that we get together, and then we're going to look at wisdom, and then we're going to try to help with foresight. Like, hey, this decision's coming up. I think I used the illustration maybe in a message a while back. Brandon's coming upon 4 years old. I had zero foresight as a father. 4 years old in our church, Sunday nights, you're sitting up in church. That means at 3 years old, I need to be working with him on how to sit in church. Well, I didn't work with him at all. We went from one night being in twos and three-year-old class, zero training on sitting in church. Now, son, come and sit in church with me for 45 minutes. It was a disaster. It was a disaster for a while. And it was one thing that God really used in my life early on in parenting, first child, to say, hey, bud, you better keep an eye on what's coming ahead and be thinking ahead on what your children are going to face all the way up through, because there's always going to be those curves that are coming up. And so we want to help with foresight, and we want to help fight. So we want to educate, we want to bring focus, we want to fight against the humanistic psychological philosophies of the world that result in a passive approach to parenting where neglect and permissiveness rule the home. And there are some parents that have swung that pendulum, that they grew up in a very strict home. They would call it controlling home. And as a result, now we're going to, instead of maybe coming to a balanced biblical approach to parenting, they swing the pendulum way over here. And they become permissive, and kids rule the home on everything. That is not God's plan. And so we want to fight against those approaches. We want to provide helpful resources whereby parents can grow in wisdom and to help parents stay ahead of the curve as they enter new phases of parenting. And so those were, when we talked as a staff and I had the burden of putting something like this together, that's the burden behind it. That's why we designed it. These principles will help you and should be things that are in front of you during these ages of preschool, 3-4 years old, up through third grade. First principle, I used a C here for it, the principle of connection, and that is working at getting the heart of your child. Proverbs 23:26 in your notes says this: my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. You don't get the heart just by them being blood. Well, they're blood children, Pastor. You know, I've had these children. Sure, I'm going to have their heart. Don't bet on that. There's a lot of things to steal the heart. And Proverbs, of course, identifies that: wicked men, wrong men, strange women, a whole bunch of things that can steal the heart. And you want to get the heart of your child. That, in a large part, is spelled out by time. Okay? Obviously, it's spelled out by example. If you're telling your kid, don't do this, man, when you grow up, and you're smoking, obviously, your kid's going to say, I don't want to follow you, Dad. You're a hypocrite. So there are things that we can do to damage that, but there are a lot of things that we can do to build that. A few things that I just would give you in working with your children. Number one, take interest in their interest. Take interest in their interest. My girls liked horses. So guess what we were doing on vacation? I was finding a place that would do little pony rides in a circle. And I'm walking with them in a circle, holding on to their pony. But you know what? They thought that was the thrill of the world. Dad, what day on vacation are we doing the pony rides? They love stuffed animals. We have the stuffed animals out on the floor. That was their interest. And I tell people today, you know, my daughter yesterday, she texted me, and she said, Dad, can we talk today sometime? I need to talk to you about some things. And she's 19 years old, and so we set up a time yesterday, and she called, and we talked for about an hour and 10 minutes about things that are near and dear to her heart. Can I tell you this about your children all the way up through? There are going to be things that are near and dear to their heart. And you want to be the one that your kids feel comfortable enough with, that you've got their heart, that they want to talk to you about. And that's not going to happen by accident. That's going to happen by work. And I'm not saying that I've always had their heart. I'm saying that we've had to work, and sometimes we've seen it stray a little bit and try to work to get it back. But take interest in their interest. Number two, take time to listen. Take time to listen. If your four-year-old wants to talk about Bob the Builder, then listen to your four-year-old talk about Bob the Builder and get excited with him and take interest. Listen to him. Remember this, as your kids grow up, they are going to talk to someone. They are. And you know who you want them talking to? You want them talking to you. And so be attentive to them. You want them to be attentive to you, right? We all want our kids to be attentive to us when we speak. But show that with them. Have family nights with time dedicated to them. And build it up. Hey, coming up on Friday night, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make donuts. And we're going to, from making donuts, we're going to gather around the table. And Dad's going to teach you a new game. And build it up that you can't wait to be with your family, with your kids, in that environment. Oh, I can't wait for Friday, son. Brandon, can you wait? Man, we're going to a hockey game. We've never done this before, but you and I are going to a hockey game. Girls, we're going out on our first date. You and Dad on our first date. And give them family nights that they see that you're setting aside time for them. I read a book a number of years ago about dividing your life into 6 4-hour segments. And it really helped me. It helped me with my kids at the time to try to build a couple 4-hour segments in the week that I don't let that time get interrupted with my kids. That I have that time that's set aside, that's designated unto them. These things are going to help. When you build something up that I'm spending time with you, I'm planning to spend time with you, that registers on the Richter scale with your kid. Mom wants me. Dad wants me. He wants to be with me. She wants to be with me. That's a big deal. And, you know, we're busy. We were busy. We've lived a busy life for 20-some years. But you have to build in what's important. And you're wanting your child's heart. But Solomon, he knew it was not an automatic. He said to his son, give me thine heart. I'm asking you to give me thine heart. Now, on that front, how do you detect when you don't have it? Or what are danger signs that you don't have it? One of the things we taught our kids was, if you do wrong and you tell us, we're going to show you mercy. We wanted our kids to come and tell us when they did wrong. Now, did they do that 100% of the time? I'm sure they did not. But there were a few things that were bigger things that they came and they sat down and they said, I need to talk to you, Mom and Dad. And, you know, there were tears involved and there was ashamedness and those kinds of things. But you know what? I'd rather have them coming to me like that. That tells me that they trust me. You can't beat them over the head on everything if you want that. You can't use the hammer all the time. You have to listen sometimes. You have to work through things. You have to, man, I got to pray about what to do with that next, you know, in this situation. But the principle of connection, and a lot of that you can spell time. Quality time, quantity time, interest in their interest time, very important. Number two, the principle of correction. Connection and then correction. We got to get this done early, and you got to get this done consistent. Otherwise, you're going to raise a monster. Or maybe better put, a brat. Okay. They have to know that no means no, and that you do mean what you say. And if they can get away with you not meaning what you say, put that at 10, 11, 12 years old, and you got much bigger problems. And so diligent, consistent, watch this, spirit-controlled correction is vital to your children growing up in a safe, secure atmosphere, that they get a right picture of God through that, but they also understand, you know what? I can't live my own way. I can't do my own thing. I have to submit to the God-given authorities in my life, or else something comes with that. You're training them for life. And if they can get away with you having to tell them something five times before they get it, before they're disciplined, what are you training them in as far as their responsiveness to God? For God to have to speak to them five times about the same subject before they get it? It's why the Bible says, he that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, early and often. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, if we do it in anger, obviously it's going to do worse things to them. But if we do it in a spirit-controlled environment, hey, son, I don't like doing this. I don't want to do this. This hurts me. But what you've done, you've disobeyed Dad. And because you've disobeyed Dad, God commands me to deal with you in a way that will help you to remember not to do that again. And the principle of correction. Thirdly, the principle of consistency. Look at Deuteronomy 6 there. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk of them when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by the way. Notice, talkest of them when thou sittest, when thou walkest, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. What does that tell you? Look at those phrases. All the time. They need to see a consistent Christian life example. They need to have a consistent verbal example that's teaching them that it's consistency, consistency, consistency in discipline, consistency in love, consistency in training, consistency in getting them to the places that they need to be, where you're going to have help. Consistency, consistency, consistency. That's a huge, huge thing for you to develop in your life as a young parent, that you develop consistency just across the board. Now, some patterns to develop, things that we want to work with them on in these years. Number one, develop respect. Work on yes, sir, no, sir. Work on teaching them not to interrupt when you are talking. We taught our kids, we ran into this. You know, these things pop up. If you're a young parent, if you're a parent of a young one, you know how this happens, you know. Oh, why are they doing this? Why all of a sudden are they doing this? Well, dummy, I haven't trained them. So, this is popping up, you know. I'm sitting here talking with people, and my son's like, Dad! 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 Son, just be quiet. Dad! Dad! You know, and so, like, man, we got to learn from somebody how to help them not to interrupt when we're speaking. And so we taught our kids, come and just, if daddy's talking, you can come and you can put your hand right on daddy's side or mommy's side. And when you do that, mommy and daddy know that you're there. And when they're finished and they're ready to talk to you, they will give you attention and you can speak. But you don't speak while mommy and daddy's talking to somebody else. And teach them not to interrupt. That's an important thing that they learn early on. Develop responsibility. Train them how to do chores. We trained our kids how to make their beds. This is how you do it. Let's go back and show you how to do it. You know, and I remember Brandon early on was, I thought he was going to be a perfectionist because he was so proud of his bed. And then years went on and he wasn't so proud of his bed. So, I don't know. Maybe we need to go back and retrain a little bit. But train them how to do a chore. Don't just give them the chore. Make a chores list. Obviously, many of you already do this, so I'm talking to the choir. But put something on the refrigerator. Give them the joy of checking it off every day. Hey, Mom, I got this done. Brush their teeth. Take out the trash. Clean their room. Make their bed. Teach them responsibility from the ground up. They're part of the household. They got to learn to, you know, they get older, they put their clothes away. They take their hamper downstairs to the washroom. Give them, train them, and then inspect what you expect. Okay, you did that? Let's go back, especially the first few times when they're learning. Let's go back and look at how you, oh, all those clothes under the bed, that's not quite how we clean our room. you know, fold the clothes, put them in your drawers, those kinds of things. And then teach and apply the principle of responsibility versus privileges. They need to understand this is a life principle. And so our kids, we homeschooled our kids, so early on, I don't know, third, fourth grade, we gave them the opportunity to earn privileges. If they showed up to school on time at their desk for 2 weeks in a row, then you earn a privilege. And the privilege is you can have a drink at your desk to start the day. And you can have that drink at your desk as long as you are on time at your desk. But the minute the day that you skip that, guess what? You lose that privilege. You fail in responsibility, you lose the privilege. As they get older, you're going to be using responsibilities and privileges a lot more. Brethren, that's life. Life is full of responsibilities and privileges. Man, it's a privilege to get paid. Guess what? I got to be there on time. I got to work. I got to fulfill my duties in order for that to happen. Teach them that. Expect true obedience, which is doing what you're told to do when you're told to do it with the right heart attitude. We drilled that into our kids. Train that phrase into our kids. Get your kids thinking that way. What is true obedience? It's three things. It's doing what you're told to do, it's doing when you're told to do it, and it's doing it with a right heart attitude. Yes, Dad, I'd be glad to. And the way we did it was we did it in a devotional time where there wasn't a pressure point, but we were training them, hey, here's the proper response. And then lastly, teach them to report back when they obey. Mom, I did what you told me to do. I went and picked up the toys in the living room. Good, son. Good. Thank you for telling me. That's important. Make big deals out of those things. But teach them to report back. You know, all my staff does that. First thing I teach a staff member, interns are coming in this summer. You know what they're going to learn? Report back. I give you a task. I expect you to report back and let me know that it's done. I don't want to come checking after you. That's a character thing. And you can teach that early on. It really, really will help them. Develop bedtime routines, good ages to time to go to bed, what's expected once you're in bed. Dad! Dad! Yes, son? Dad, do you think tomorrow we could... You're like, okay, we're playing this game, right? And so teach them, train them. Hey, when we go to bed, here's what's expected of you. You got to get up and use the restroom, great. But otherwise, we expect it to be quiet. We expect you not to make noise. Expect you to settle down. Maybe you're going to go back and pray with them. We did that with our kids. We went back and prayed with them. I usually told them a little story, like Bucky the Humble Bumblebee, something that I made up. And then sometimes you're transitioning them from nap times, so they're not doing naps anymore. How do you transition out of that? You may still need them to be quiet during that time, or you may want them to rest or read a book quietly, especially if you're raising other small children. How to transition out of that. Develop those routines. Remember, kids love routines. Develop reading habits. Take time to read to them. Take them to the library. Develop in them a love for reading. So if I can take you where you're at as a parent right now, and I can take you 15 years down the road, 20 years down the road, you're going to release your kids. Okay. Part of parenting is you're releasing the ropes. All right. And I'm in that process right now with all my kids. And there are some things I'm depending upon that, you know what? I can't tell my son, clean your room now. He's 20 years old. He's an adult. So he's got to be making some decisions. And there are some things that I'm really depending upon. Number one, I'm dependent upon a walk with God. That he has a walk with God. Hopefully we've trained and put enough time into that he knows what that means. Hopefully, number two, I continue praying for him because that's a wonderful tool that God's given me that I will always have with my kids. Hopefully, number three, I have taught him to seek wise counsel. And hopefully he has a cabinet of counselors that he's talking to before he's making big decisions. Hopefully, number four, he's a reader. Why, preacher? Because you can teach yourself a lot and you can grow in wisdom if you have a desire to read. Okay? And hopefully, number five, he knows that he doesn't make hasty decisions and that his friends are right. I'm dependent upon those things. And you want to build that reading in early, because if they get a love for reading, my son comes home from break, he'll be home into March. I guarantee you, I know he's going to tell me. He says, Dad, do you have 3 books going back to college that I can read? I said, son, you're already reading a lot. You're in college. He says, Dad, I read a chapter of a book that you give me every night before I go to bed. It's love for reading. Well, guess what? Guess what I'm feeding him? Really good stuff. Why? Because as they get older, somebody else saying the same thing to them and it getting in their mind, hey, that's going to point them in the right direction. And so really, really work at developing reading. Read to them, take them to the library, develop, take advantage of summer reading programs. Work on sitting in church. Reward character. Here's some important things now. Here's some important things, some practical things. Teach them they're never alone with another adult. I'm sorry, we live in a wicked world. Don't let them be alone with another adult. It's grandpa, I know, okay, that's a different setting. Family may be a different setting. But just be safe. Teach them, be proud of your family and your name. And don't do anything to hurt it. We have a name. As a family, our family name is the Star Family. And we hold that name in regard. That name means something to all of us. Obviously, we have Christ's name. You can go the next level as a Christian to bear. Here's one we worked on, and I'm telling you, by the time my kids were 7, 8 years old, we were training this over and over and over again. Beware. Kids, you beware. If you have another friend that's telling you, shh, I'm going to tell something to you if you don't tell anybody, that is a dangerous friend. That is somebody you want to stay away from. Because mark it down, your kids will face that somewhere. I promise you, I promise you, I promise you. And so then they're being sworn to confidence on something, and they don't know what to do with that. Okay, what are you going to tell me? I promise I won't tell anybody. Make sure that you work on that. You can work on scripture memorization together. I'll be dealing with the family altar coming up, but it's family devotions. I'll be preaching a whole message on it in the family series. Reminders, establish unconditional love. Finish discipline with love. Finish discipline with love. Man, I've corrected them. Bang, bang, bang. 3 swats to my son. He's weeping. We walk through. Now, why did Dad have to do this? Dad, I didn't obey you. I didn't clean my room like you told me. That's right, son. I'm sorry, Dad. You're forgiven, son. Let's bow for prayer. Okay, let's pray about this. Let's pray together. Son, I love you. This is done. We've dealt with this. And if you dealt with it with God, you need to talk to God about it. You did something against Daddy, but more importantly, you did something against God. Okay, let's pray. I was wrong, God. Please forgive me. Amen. All right, that's right. That's what we do. And then hug and confirm love to that child. Important. That's important. They need to know. Your children need to know in discipline that it's done. They need to know you've dealt with it. You've dealt with it biblically. You've dealt with it spirit controlled. And now we move on, and I love you. And I'm not going to hold that against you. I'm not going to bring it up again to you. We've dealt with that, and that's a closed case. Discuss. These are good discussion items, parents. What is allowed? What is not allowed regarding neighbors, fellow church families, sleepovers? What are you going to do about that? How are you going to handle those things? That's a husband-wife chat. How to handle differences they might see at family gatherings. We have family gatherings, you know, and on my wife's side, more than maybe my side, there's a lot of differences. Okay, there are things that they're involved in, they talk about. You know, one of my brother-in-laws goes out and smokes his cigar outside. Well, we don't smoke. You know, do we bash him to our kids? No, no. We always tell our kids if there's a difference, hey, we want you to know we love all of our family. But you have to understand that everybody has to have room to grow, and we need to pray for Uncle that the Lord will help him with that area, that he would please the Lord in that area. not bashing, but helping them to see, wait, this is still not right. Just because their family doesn't make something right that they're doing. That's important. Discuss starting your child in music lessons. I think it's good to start with piano. We did. But get them in music lessons. And I also would say, if you can get your kids going to bed to godly music, do so. Develop a right appetite for music early on in their lives. And they'll carry it with them the rest of their lives. Our kids went to music went to bed by music or stories every night. Preaching some nights. Except I didn't want them to get used to going to sleep and falling asleep to preaching. But music. Get lots of godly music in our bookstore. Safe stuff. Stuff that's going to soothe their soul, calm their mind. Get them hooked on that stuff. Very vital. Discuss if you want to give your kids an allowance. There's some suggestions for homeschooling there. If you're not homeschooling, there's some things there that I definitely would make sure is true. Realize the potential of your children getting a mixed message, especially with Christian school and the church that you go to. They're going to be different. That's a consideration when you consider educating. Warnings. Beware of beginning activities for your children that conflict with church services. Well, I really want my kid to be in Little League Baseball, but they have baseball on Wednesday nights and it's during the church. Don't do it. Where's that going to lead in his life? You're sending you're selling him a priority difference. And the priority is, if there's something that I want to do that's more important than church, it's okay to do that. That, my friend, is going to hurt them down the road. Keep church priority. You know what? We have church. We keep church priority. Very, very important. If you're wanting to raise children that want to serve God, be faithful to God in their lives. No screen time unsupervised. I would not be buying my kids personal devices at this age. I don't want them to feel like they have any ownership of something that mom and dad cannot have access to. I just would be guarded. If you want to read on screen time, two excellent books here. My TechWise Life, My TechWise Family. They got some excellent principles there. But I would not allow them to get connected to video games. They will run your children's mind and they will rule your home if you don't control them. If you're going to have them, you put time limits on them. You use them maybe as a reward, as a privilege, not as a right. All my kids know in my house, all growing up, there are no rights. Everything we do is a privilege. We get to do it. And therefore, it can be taken away. Kids living with rights puts parents in a passive and a not a good position. A correction at church means a correction at home. If I talk to a teacher's son and it didn't go well in class, you can know it's not going to go well at home. You want to cure behavior quick, take care of business at home. And we had to do that a number of times, but we got there. Realize as a parent, you will always become looser. Every parent, by nature, gets loose. That means that there are going to be times you need to tighten up. Okay? That's just a reality of parenting. Okay, it's reality of teaching. Some of you have been teachers in classes. Teachers get loose. Classrooms get loose. What do we have to do? We have to tighten up. I was a youth pastor. Sat in here with 50 teenagers, 45 teenagers. Guess what? It got loose, and we would call it regroup and retrain. And here, hey, we got to come back to some things here. We got to build these things in. Don't force your kid to repentance. You can't force repentance on a child. You can handle them. I'm sorry. With no heart behind it. You want them to have heart behind it. Pray that they will repent when they make trouble. Two other things here and then we'll close tonight. Beware of making grades an acceptance issue. A lot of parents and young parents make this mistake. Now, if you get an A, Daddy will be happy. But if you get a B or a C, I want you to know I'm going to be upset. You know, kids have different academic levels. They have different strengths and weaknesses. Just encourage your kids to always do their best. And know what? If it ends up to be a B or a C and that's their best, then be glad with that. if you see them exercising their best. And then beware of criticizing, making fun of, or correcting your children publicly. Your child is a tender plant. Okay? You don't want to uproot them. If you have to discipline, you discipline privately. Don't discipline publicly. Don't yell at them publicly. Don't mock them publicly. Don't talk about how stupid they are in front of family and in front of friends. Man, you're doing great damage to the spirit of that child. And it will be tough to overcome in that child's life. And so I give you these things, and hopefully they're a help to you, things to think through, things to bring focus to, things to be diligent in, things to discuss, patterns to develop. These are all healthy things. There's a lot here. I hope that you're seeing that parenting is not just close your eyes every day and go through 24 hours and wake up the next day and do it again. We're parents. Let's work at it, all right? God bless you. If we can be a help to you, if you want to borrow a resource, feel free to do so. Let's pray. Brother Matt, would you lead us in prayer tonight?